You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Thursday to you. It's Thursday, October the 3rd. I got my man, Mark Narducci, in the place. What's up, Mark?
How you doing, Keith? After watching day two of Sixers workout, it's things are starting to shape up a little bit.
Yeah, they are. I mean, the one thing is Ben Simmons is the leader of this team. You know, that's the one thing that we've noticed. You know, Joel Embiid is the best player, but Ben Simmons, to me right now, at this particular time, is the leader of this team. And it should be. He's the point guard, but he's the leader. So we're going to talk about that in the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to talk about the team's cohesiveness. They're trying to be more cohesive. They're trying to work things out. And we'll talk about that. And in the third segment, what's a podcast without talking about Joel Embiid's conditioning in the preseason? We talked about it yesterday. I think I talked about it the day before. So, look, y'all get to hear us talk about it one last. Now, it's not going to be the last day, but for the third day in a row. But first things first, you know, just talk about Ben Simmons' leadership that was displayed today. Like, when we came in there, they were doing these drills, and Ben Simmons was loud. I mean, he was extremely vocal. He was, like, into it. I mean, you know, again, Ben, I'm not trying to say Ben wasn't a leader before, because he was. You could go to the games and you see him pointing things out. But now that J.J. Redick is gone, now that you don't have Jimmy Butler, I mean, you could go back to, like, Robert Covington, who was there before. You know, right now, Ben Simmons is the guy. He's like the loudest voice in the room. And that was evident today or yesterday, you know, at practice.
Yeah, and it was the first time we got to see the team about the last 15 minutes going up and down the court. The thing about Ben, and I've said this before, Keith, on prior podcasts, I thought that Jimmy Butler held him back, held his game back, held his leadership back. And I think with Jimmy gone, Ben has really assumed things. Now, you talk about Joel being their best player, but Ben is on the court all the time. And it's interesting because as we were talking to people after practice, a number of people mentioned Ben and just his leadership, his passing ability. And it's interesting when you hear guys like Trey Burke, who, you know, had never played with him before, and he's on the same court with him, and he just says how, wow, he's doing things that, you know, you just can't imagine. And I think that there's a lot of confidence with Ben Simmons. I still think that, you know, the outside shot thing that we've talked ad nauseum about is going to be kind of what defines him and what level of star he's going to be in this league.
I agree. I do think that, you know, Ben Simmons is going to attempt more three-pointers. I think it's because he's going to have to. And we talked about it before. I mean, so I'm only going to talk about it briefly right now. But, you know, it's going to be one of those things where if you want to be great, you're going to have to make great plays. And great plays for him in the postseason is kind of sort of, you know, hitting a couple jumpers from the outside, taking a couple jumpers. Because, you know, right now it's one of those things where people sag off or they're going to sag off. So I think Ben is up for the challenge. But here's the thing about today. Yesterday, rather. I keep saying today, man. It's Thursday. I keep talking about it's Wednesday. But yesterday, you know, Tobias Harris raised a great point. And what he said was, it's like, you know, Ben could have looked for his own shot on several occasions. He did not do it because at this particular time, he's trying to get other guys the balls in the spot that they want, which is true. You're going to look for Al Horford. You're going to throw lobs to Josh Richardson. You know what I mean? You're going to give the ball down low to Joel Embiid. So, you know, at this particular time, like, yes, it will be great for us, the reporters, to see Ben Simmons attempt a three or Ben Simmons do things. But right now, he has to be the leader of the team and make sure everything else works. Because, hey, this was the second day of training camp, right? Yes, the guys were in the gym for a little bit, you know, before training camp started, having open runs. But they really don't know where each other's going to be at. So for people to say, how come Ben Simmons wasn't out there shooting threes? Well, he's trying to be a point guard first, and I think that will come later.
And not only that, we don't know if he was or wasn't shooting them. We only got to see, what would you say, the last 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So we really don't know. But the other thing is, the little bit we saw, he also could get to the basket anytime he wanted. And I think that has amazed some of these newcomers that haven't been with him and with the Sixers, when you see it up close like that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you know, the thing is, it's funny because, you know, you ask Brett Brown and he talk about the leadership quality, and Brett will come out and he'll say, you know, he's been here. Like, you know, he's familiar now. Now he knows what to do. He's just going to go out there and do it. And, you know, Tobias Harris says he's seen a change since when Tobias came here via trade from the Los Angeles Clippers in February. And, you know, you look at Ben, and as much as we want to talk about his offensive skills and his leadership qualities being vocal, you know, here's a guy who's dedicated himself on a defensive end. You know, Joel Embiid says, hey, I want to be defensive player of the year. Ben Simmons comes back and says, hey, I want to be the best defender on the team. Now, if Joel Embiid is a candidate for defensive player of the year, and he wants to be that, and if Ben Simmons is the best defender on the team, then he's a defensive player of the year candidate too. So for him to say that, he's really stepping up and being a leader.
Not only that, Keith, when your two best players are kind of kiddingly fighting each other to be the best defensive player, that's why I think a lot of people are very high on this 76ers team.
Yeah, very high on them. Now, when we get back from this commercial break, you know, we're going to talk about what the team has really been working on in the first 2 days. All right, Mark, for the first 2 days, you know, a lot of the talk has been on the team's cohesiveness. And it was funny because, you know, Brett Brown said to us last week at his media luncheon that, when we asked, well, Bob Cooney asked, okay, 2 minutes left in the game, who's your go-to guy? He said, Joel Embiid is my crown jewel. Well, today at practice, and what we saw them doing an end of game drill, 4 seconds left on the clock, where Ben Simmons throws an inbound pass. There were certain plays where he threw lobs, certain plays he threw the ball down in the post, certain plays he threw it to outside to Tobias, and one particular play, Tobias gets the ball, he takes several dribbles, gets to the top of the key, and buries a long jumper. It's hard to tell if it was a three or not, but it was a long jumper on top of Kyle O'Quinn. Afterwards, he asked, are you the go-to guy, right? He says, hey, I mean, I'm paraphrasing now, but he says, hey, you know, he's worked to put himself in that position, but at the same time, he says, you know, we got a bunch of guys. We got the best center in the NBA. We got in Joel Embiid. We have one of the league's best young stars in Ben Simmons. He's basically said, like, whoever has the last shot takes it, you know. But then he says, right now, they're just working on being cohesive. They're just working on, you know, being a group, coming together. To whereas when they're on the floor, it's like they don't really – they know what the other person is thinking and what to do. And it just seems like that has been the theme in the first 2 days of training camp.
Yeah, our colleague David Murphy wrote on Inquirer.com about the camaraderie of this team. And you know what you get? You get the idea, Keith, that they're not only molding together on the court, they kind of like each other, you know? Mm-hmm. Like Tobias was talking about how I thought it was very interesting that he took out a couple of the rookies, because when he was a young player, you know, there were some veterans that took him under his wing. And I think when you have veterans that do that and want to include everybody, I mean, this team, we saw it in the very limited time we saw. They were going at it. They were playing hard and everything like that, but they really seemed to be pulling for each other, and they really seemed to like each other. Now, you might say, well, you don't have to like each other. There's been champions that didn't. That's all true, but it certainly helps when you get together, all, you know, when you get together and have a good feeling for one another, And yes, Joel Embiid remains the go-to guy. Again, he didn't take part in this last minutes that we saw on Wednesday, and he will be the go-to guy. But as you know, he'll be double teamed, he'll be triple teamed, he'll have to kick the ball out. So there are going to have to be other people that'll have to step up and be the go-to guy. And the one thing you get the impression, and you know him very well, Tobias, I think, relishes the chance to take that big shot.
I mean, yeah, he does. He does. But the thing that really gets me about this Sixers team is when you think about a guy like Josh Richardson, you know, he's a young guy. You know, you look at him, you'll say, you know, right now he's probably the fourth option on this team or fifth option, you know, just because of who else they have in the starting lineup. But at the same time, he's not going to see the type of defenses, and people aren't going to strategically say, hey, man, you got to stop Josh Richardson. So you look at it like, damn, that's going to open a lot of stuff up for this guy this year. You know, we saw them, you know, doing the closeouts. He's catching lobs and doing all this stuff. And you forget that, like, hey, he's a quality player. I mean, when you see the pictures of the team together, and this isn't a slight on him, but you're looking at the 6'10 and above guys, and like, oh, yeah, that's Josh. You know, and now today you come to practice, and yesterday we were at practice, and you're saying to yourself, like, okay, I mean, my man can, you know, he's just not a throw-in. And I'm not saying he was or anything like that. But what I am saying is it's just one of these things where when you're not the focal point and the superstar, you can get overlooked. You know what I mean? You can get overlooked. And look at him. I mean, Brett Brown isn't overlooking him. He knows what he can do. Now, as much as we keep talking about, this is we're talking about the balance, the cohesiveness, and that's what they're working on, cohesiveness. But when we talk about the balance, Trey Burke and Raul Neto are battling for the backup point guard spot in the regular season. But in the playoffs, it's probably going to be Josh Richardson. And he's going to handle the ball a lot too. Even though these other guys are listed as the backup point guard, Josh Richardson is. So that tells you how deep this team, not deep, how balanced this team is.
And versatile. And the reason you've said that about the playoffs is Brett Brown has mentioned that on about 2 to 3 occasions already, that Josh could be working his way. And Brett keeps mentioning, you know, by the postseason, whatever happens, it's a nice bit of versatility to have. And the other thing is, at his size, at 6'6", he's going to relish covering opposing point guards. And that's going to be very interesting. And I think that's going to take a level of pressure off of Simmons.
And know what else? Think about it. Opposing point guards are going to have to guard him.
That's right.
And so he could, you know, it's like, whoa, you know, he could have a pretty good, you know, at six, I mean, you know, who do you want to guard, him or Simmons? Simmons 6'10", or you want to guard this guy? You know, so it's like pick your poison, so to speak. So, but look, man, when we get right back from this break, y'all, we're going to talk about Joel Embiid's conditioning. You know, it's been kind of like a big story, but it hasn't been a big story in training camp. I know that sounds weird, but I'll explain when we get right back. All right, Mark. So when you talk about Joel Embiid's conditioning, you know, it's one of those things where yesterday he was kind of like he was limited in practice. I heard that he was playing well. He was doing what he was supposed to do. And then all of a sudden it was like he got shut down. Right. Today, you know, he was in practice. It was one of those things where we saw him out there, and then all of a sudden we didn't see him out there, you know, in the drills. So Brett Brown says, oh, he's in great shape. Now, I don't think he's in the best shape, you know, but you expect the coach to say he's in great shape just because it's like you don't want to say the guy isn't in shape. But if he was in the best shape, you know, he would be out there doing all the things like everyone else. Secondly, you don't expect him to be in the best shape. If he was battling tendonitis or he was rehabbing tendonitis this summer, and he like he said, he was doing drills, you know, with his shooting coach's trainer, but he wasn't playing 5-on-5 with the guys here at the gym until the, you know, to the end. So to me, it's like, what do you do with this story? Because Embiid has never showed up at training camp. Now, last summer was a little, he was probably in his best shape, but he's never been in tip-top shape. Like, Tobias Harris looks chiseled. Looked like he lost, you know, 10 pounds. He only lost 5, but he's cut up now. Yeah. You know, he's in tip-top shape. I mean, you look at Ben Simmons, he's in great shape. So it's hard for me to say, is this a big story? Because it's something we've been through before.
There's no question about it. He's coming off the injury and all that. And the team went out of its way to say this was their decision. It was, they're doing it for load management reasons. And, you know, you certainly don't want to burn someone out in the first couple of weeks of training camp. My thing is this, Keith. If he isn't in good shape, then you say he's working his way up. But Brett seemed to go out of his way to say that he didn't want to get subbed. He was running up and down. That they were playing at a high pace. So we don't get to see that part of practice. So I can't. All I've got to do is take him at his word at this point. It's eventually going to come out in the game what kind of shape he's in. That's going to be the telling sign. But for now, I'm going to choose to believe the coach because he's seeing it and we're not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I get that. Now, here's the thing. Joel Embiid would love to play 82 games at 40, maybe 42 minutes per game. So it's not surprising that he wants to come out. Now, again, like I said, I don't expect him to be in good shape. The optimal shape, just because he's never entered training camp in optimal shape, and it's always been because of illness or injuries and stuff like that. So it's hard to expect it. But what I'm saying, like, and I agree with you, we will find out pretty soon. Maybe not against the team from China on Tuesday. You know, maybe not into some of these preseason games. But once they really count, when they go up against Boston on the 23rd, we'll find out what shape he's in. I mean, Joel Embiid, to me, is like a throwback. And I've said this before. And what I mean is, back in the day, when before they were doing, pro athletes were training all year round, and they got all into this sports science stuff, guys used to use training camp to get back in shape. Now, due to the injuries that Joel Embiid has had in his career, he uses training camp to get back in shape. Now, when Brett Brown comes out and says, and I'm not calling Brett Brown a liar, but when Brett Brown comes out and says, oh, yeah, he's in great shape and this and that, okay, well, yeah, you know, he's going hard, he's doing this, but what else are you going to expect the coach to say? Is the coach going to come out and say, oh, man, this guy was sucking wind, he's horrible?
Well, here's what I would expect if it is the truth, Keith.
I'm not saying it's not the truth.
Right.
Just saying, what else do you expect him to say?
Well, if he were not in shape, I would expect the coach to say he hadn't played all summer, he was rehabbing his knee, he's a work in progress, and he's working his way up. But he went out of his way to go the opposite and say he's doing great. So we'll see. I mean, the game will be the deciding factor. The games will be the deciding factor. We'll see. But for right now, as I said, I'm taking him at his word, and hey, we'll see what happens.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
For right now. But look, I want to thank you for joining. Mark won't be here tomorrow. Mark is like the busiest man in the world. Because tonight Mark is actually traveling today to Greenville, North Carolina to cover the Temple East Carolina football game, and then he will travel back tomorrow. So Mark won't be here today, won't be here tomorrow for tomorrow's podcast, but he'll be missed. But hey, life goes on.
Hey, Keith, I'll see you at the open scrimmage on Saturday. That should be interesting.
Yeah, it should be. It should be. And also Elton Brand's going to talk, so that should be interesting, absolutely, too. A lot of great things. Mm-hmm. But hey, y'all, I want to thank y'all for listening, and we'll be back to y'all together as a group on Monday. Peace.